Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We're still on number one of the Triple Dipper for the day, talking about Ukraine Explained. And I'm looking right now here on the big screen in the studio. They have a breaking news alert that President Biden has ordered more U.S. troops into Europe. And while saying that, and I have it on mute, obviously, because I'm in the studio talking on air, but while I had it on mute, they've got the byline saying more U.S. troops being ordered to Europe while showing file photos of Apache gunships flying. So I don't know if that means he's sending Army aviation or if they were just using that as background. I'll find out soon and let you know. So where is NATO in all of this? What's happening right now with NATO? Well, some would say, and I read one article, which I'll probably bring up here in just a moment, they believe that NATO has been a nothing burger in all this. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I just saw, too, somebody has sent me a text. And I think it was David from Huntsville. Let me see if it was David from Huntsville or Chris from Madison. Go back to my text. David sent it to me. Thanks, David. He says that retired admiral on TV just a few moments ago said that Finland and Sweden ought to ask to join NATO now, because if Putin's already mad, I mean, why not? Go ahead and cause other countries to join NATO. Well, that's the point that I'm about to play you on clip five. So clip five, Copper, go ahead and highlight that if you got it ready still. It's good to go. Okay, great. So clip five, Karl Rove was asked yesterday to speak from his experience of having worked in the Bush administration. And so he didn't do the whiteboard politics, all that kind of stuff. He talked from the perspective of someone who worked in the White House during a time when we went to war. If you remember, that was, of course, he was affiliated with the Bush family when Desert Storm happened, but he was definitely in the White House when the invasion of both Afghanistan and Iraq took place. Clip five, he is asked specifically by the host of the show that he's on, what does he think is going on with NATO? Copper, go ahead and play clip five.
I mean, you know, the EU sounds very much like with NATO, you know, they are against Russia. They are, you know, aligned and they're not budging at all. But will that last? I mean, if this thing takes another 10 days to get these troops in there, Carl, will this alliance stay intact?
You know, I think the Russians have miscalculated. I think NATO has been strengthened by all this because they recognize the threat of Russia. Take Finland, for example, which during the entire Cold War era was assiduously neutral between the West and Russia. The leader of Finland now says that if Ukraine is invaded, Finland will consider asking for membership in NATO, because he said our orientation is toward the West, and we will condemn an invasion of Ukraine by Russia as a hostile act on an independent country. This is extraordinary, and I think a lot of European capitals are recognizing Putin for what he is, which is a thug. And they will not stand for the invasion of Ukraine. They'll see it as a threat to themselves.
Carl, we will talk to you ahead in the days coming, and we appreciate your analysis.
Yeah, there you go. And so I don't disagree. I think Karl Rove is right. I think what people are looking at right now is they're going, whoa, hang on a second. I mean, if Ukraine had been let into NATO back when, then Article 5 of the NATO Charter would say, you know, which by the way, Article 5 is the provision that says an attack on one is an attack on all. If Ukraine was actually a member of NATO, then we would either have to break the alliance or we would send troops there to defend NATO's sovereign territory. We're not doing that right now. We have the sort of the luxury, if you will, of sort of playing Taiwan, you know, like we do with Taiwan and China. Oh, what a wonderful place Taiwan is. Here, let us send you lots of foreign aid and military aid. Well, that's what we've been doing with Ukraine. But Finland, Sweden, Estonia. Estonia's already a member, I believe. But all said and done, those who are not a member now are finding themselves going, I'm just going to ask, why am I waiting? Why should we have to sit here and wait? If he's going to start invading territories, this smells an awful lot like Hitler's march across Europe in World War II. And I definitely want to be on the right side of things there. So let me have a place in NATO, please. Thank you very much. And I think you're going to start seeing some requests. Finland, I think, is probably going to be the first out the gate. We want to be a part of NATO. And I'll tell you this, too. If Ukraine is not completely invaded, and this, you know, this occurs to me as I'm sitting here right now. If Ukraine is not going to be completely dominated by Russia, let's say they'd only move in and take certain portions of the eastern sections, you know, the whole thing I've been talking about with Donetsk and Luhansk, if they stop there, don't you think the rest of Ukraine is going to want to know if they can be in NATO now? At that point, Zelensky's going to be like, hello, me again. I'm calling, and I'm calling you out publicly. I want to be a part of NATO because he took part of my country, and I want you to come help us. And then we're going to be on the spot. All right, so listen, let's jump into some stories that I've got here right now. Story off of National Review. This was a good one. This has got a lot of highlights on it. Let's put it that way. Story off National Review. The title of it, referring to Putin's speech that I've referred to several times today, the title of it is The Most Dangerous Speech of the Post-Cold War Era. Story off National Review yesterday says the Russian government, having formally recognized Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republic, two sections of Ukraine that have been subjected to years of fighting between Russia and Ukrainian-backed militias, the recognition now amounts to the Russian government basically giving itself permission to intervene to protect them as breakaway nations in an undisguised way. Because for the last 7 to 8 years, Russia has been fighting what I would call a proxy war or a hidden war, claiming to be, you know, unaffiliated. We're not really doing much. I don't know what's happening over there. And yet what you had was often believed to be Russian troops not wearing Russian uniforms fighting against Ukraine as if they were Russian separatists, creating the circumstances that causes Putin to now say, we need to intervene. Well, you created the circumstances, and now you're going to intervene in the circumstances you created in. That's wonderful. That's called a self-licking ice cream cone. His speech featured the Russian litany of post-war Cold War grievances. He talked about the broken promise not to expand NATO. And then Putin went on and attacked the very nationhood of Ukraine, like I said earlier. He talks about that his argument was that Ukraine never had traditions of genuine statehood. He says the speech, this the author of this particular National Review article says, this speech should make one question Putin's sanity, to wonder if his grip on himself or on his own regime is not firm. And with the West having only barely and hesitantly contemplated sanctions with no further ideas for escalation, it seems to me that the talking is over and this crisis will now play out in events. Anyone telling you how this will go is a fool. Now is the time that nations like Poland may step forward with ideas for how Europe can maintain security in its own backyard. Meanwhile, we watch and pray for our friends in Ukraine. National Review calling Putin's speech the most dangerous speech of the post-Cold War era. By the way, that's not hyperbole, y'all. That's literally where we are. You just saw the most aggressive European posturing since the Cold War, and perhaps since World War II. I mean, we had, you know, we had the Berlin Wall, we had the separations of the Germanies, we had the Cold War era, we had, you know, any number of things that took place. We had, you know, the revolutions and the resistance, and then you've got things that are ongoing. We had the Baltic states, we had. So there's not been, unlike what Kamala Harris chose to say in her extremely awkward press conference yesterday, it has not been 70 years of peace. Thank you very much, Vice President Harris. Please study your history. But nonetheless, this may be the most aggressive moment, the most overtly aggressive moment that we've seen in quite some time. The posturing is also not just with Putin. I mean, he's got his minions. By the way, it's on FoxNews.com right now. I'm looking at it. There's a crazy story. It's like the second story down on FoxNews.com where Putin literally had his top intel guy. They were all doing their posturing at the microphone. This is a crazy moment where Putin looks over at his guy who is giving a speech, but it's kind of hesitant in the way he's presenting it. So I will say this is perhaps we should consider, and Putin interrupts him and says, what are you saying? I mean, in front of everybody, on the national media, what are you saying? And then went on to say, speak plainly. speak plainly now, basically made his guy look like an idiot. That's the kind of guy we're talking about. Well, he's not alone in the way he acts. So, Vyacheslav Volodin, a speaker for the lower house of the Russian parliament, claimed on Friday that Ukraine has been secretly massacring these ethnic Russians in the war-torn Donbass region and hiding the corpses in mass graves with the assistance from the United States and NATO. The frick, man. I mean, they'll just say whatever they want to say. That's right. The United States is now guilty of mass genocide and creating huge graves full of bodies, just like the killing fields that we found in, you know, I don't know, what the when Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge had the killing fields in Cambodia, or for that matter, the mass graves that we saw in the Baltic states. Good Lord. That's the kind of thing we're dealing with, folks. They are trying to write this off, and they're calling certain aspects of what has happened in Ukraine since 2014 a coup d'etat, meaning that they believe that the former extremely corrupt pro-Russian president Viktor Yanukovych, who was deposed in 2014, that they're calling that a coup, and it's part of the backing for why they believe they have to go in now and preserve the rights of the Ukrainian Russian nationalists. Oh, my word. I got a little more on this. By the way, Copper, go ahead and move us to a break. Folks, coming up at 3:30, I'm going to switch gears completely. Got to move on to some other stuff for a while. We'll break into breaking news if we have to. But State Republican Party Chairman John Wall, who I've gotten to know some lately and really appreciate, he'll be on the show with us talking about what's going on in State Republican Party machinations like we discussed yesterday. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to, before I go on, tell you about my friends at ZLA Solutions, because, man, they are kicking it right now. You know, with everything going on in the world right now, some folks are still just looking for the basics of life like a job. So if you're looking for a job, let me just tell you, ZLA Solutions, you might want to check them out. Their website is ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over North Alabama. Good paying jobs, a lot of them with benefits. I mean, they told me the other day they've got jobs right now posted at $20 an hour. That's good doings right there. But if also, if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your employee workforce and you need more people, that's what they do. That's their bread and butter, man. They had the biggest year they've ever had putting people back to work. So ZLA Solutions can do all the recruiting, the drug testing, the background checks, blue collar, white collar, no collar. It does not matter. They are good at what they do. Check them out. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. So I'm going to wrap up this section of the Triple Dipper, knowing full well that we're going to be back on it again. I mean, I know we are. This is not playing out today. This is playing out over time. My concern is, and I agree with a number of the commentators on Fox and others that I've seen around the different sources that I've been pulling, is that I don't think he's going to be satisfied, Putin. I mean, he's going to be satisfied with just the easternmost sections in the Donbass region. I think he's going to be wanting all of Ukraine. And I think he's looking at this right now as a why not? You know, why not? Now's the time. If you're going to do it, do it. That's what he's going to do. And so I'm not going to be a bit surprised to see that, you know, in the words of General Petraeus, with an article that I've got here that I pulled actually off of Fox, actually, General Petraeus says he believes we're about to see a Russian example of shock and awe. Maybe so. I don't know. But that's my sense of it. Why would you mass 190,000 troops with field surgical hospitals and everything else it takes to support them with the log trains and all? He's got everything from you know, heavy armaments to light infantry to airborne troops to special forces, and they are all stacked up right now in their staging areas. I think it's just begun, and I think it's going to get worse. Article that I'll conclude with is this, though. Article off of foreignaffairs.com. You can hear by the sound of it, it's a thick one. dated just 4 days ago. The title of the article is, What If Russia Wins? Well, that got my attention. Well, this one, I mean, I've got highlights going all throughout it. This one is going to be hard to summarize. He goes into different sections like, what if Russia wins? What happens to the eastern member states that have NATO troops? What happens if we have European eastern countries that want to be into NATO? What happens to turning NATO inward upon itself? What happens to nuclear superpowers that have to keep their outrage in check? It's a broad-ranging article, but it does have a narrow focus if you get down to it. It's what happens if Russia wins. It says, when Russia joined the ongoing civil war in Syria back in the summer of 2015, it shocked the United States and its partners. And out of frustration, then-President Barack Obama, remember that was Vice President Joe Biden too, claimed that Syria would become a quagmire for Russia and gave some red lines. And Bashar al-Assad of Syria was propped up, actually, and it did not become a quagmire for Russia, he points out. The article goes on to say that it believes that Putin's cost-benefit analysis seems to favor totally upending the European status quo, and that Russian leadership is taking on more risks, and above the fray of day-to-day politics, Putin is on a historic mission to solidify Russia's leverage in Ukraine, as he has most recently done in Belarus and Kazakhstan, which he has. And if Russia gains control of Ukraine or manages to destabilize it on a major scale, a new era for the United States and for Europe will begin. U.S. and European leaders will face the dual challenge of rethinking European security and of not being drawn into a larger war with Russia. All sides would have to consider the potential of nuclear-armed adversaries in direct confrontation with each other. These two responsibilities, robustly defending European peace and prudently avoiding military escalation with Russia, will not necessarily be compatible. And the United States and its allies could find themselves deeply unprepared for the task of having to create a new European security order as a result of Russia's military actions in Ukraine. I think I'm going to keep that article because I'm pretty sure I'm going to reference it more than once. Folks, that's where we are. I just spent an hour and a half talking to you about Ukraine Explained. And by the way, I'm not sure I even cracked the ice. There's a lot of stuff to watch on this one. And am I somber and serious and ardent? Yes, I am. You know, I've got a personal stake in this, having family members that are still in the military. I've got a personal stake in this, knowing that we have to look at the broad view. We cannot be so narrowly constrained to our own little bubble that we forget to see what's outside of us. And this is one worth watching, because what's going to wind up happening here in days to come is, as sanctions begin to fly, we're going to see whether Putin responds in such a way that we begin to feel it in our own wallets and in our own society and whether our own military. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, y'all. And we'll be right back with John Wall from the ALGOP. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Copper, are you just now asking me for John Wall's phone number? Is that what's happening? Grab the mic.
Correct, he's not called yet.
Okay, well, then here, I'll give you his number. I'm about to read it out on the air. I guess I won't do that. Let me just type it for you up on the board. How about that? He might appreciate it if I did it that way. I'm getting it to you right now. Call him. Okay. Yeah. Waiting on John Wall to call in. And I know for a fact that man is super busy. He has, by the way, the most thankless, busiest, unpaid job in the entire world. I'm just saying it's so, if you think for a second that when someone is the chairman of the Republican Party for the entire state of Alabama, that means they get to just, you know, have lots of lunches and go see people and get to shake hands with the president. No, my gosh, it's the most thankless, busiest, unpaid job in the entire world. And so John Wall, I suspect he'll be calling in momentarily if Copper doesn't get him right here on the phone. But yeah, that to say, you may remember yesterday, I'm on number two of the Triple Dipper, the State House Dance Off. The State House Dance Off. So I was talking to a guy yesterday who was going to go down there to work on some legislation issues, some policy issues. And he said, man, I got to tell you, I just decided I'm not going down tomorrow. And I said, what's going on? He goes, in one day, he said, they're going to have the constitutional carry bill. So you're going to have the Sheriff's Association against it all gathered up down there. You're going to have the anti-gun lobby all down there. The moms against guns and all whatever that group's called, and Moms That Demand Action. That's their name. Down there with, you know, picketing people's offices and guarding the hallways. And then you're going to have the Second Amendment friendly folks that are down there trying to keep things moving and get the bill across the finish line. And then they're also bringing, by the way, a transgender bathroom bill. So you're going to have Human Rights Campaign and representatives from probably Apple and Google, because they lobby on behalf of LGBTQ plus 1973, whatever they are, issues. And they're going to be all in the state house, followed by, the folks who were against the transgender bathroom bill, the Christian Coalition and other groups that are there. And then he said, on top of that, they've got a bill that's just being called the riot bill right now, which has got a lot of people concerned that it could actually do something to damage the ability to have freedom of speech, even though it's designed to prevent like Antifa riots. He said it's going to be madness down there. And so that's why I called today the State House dance off. I mean, it's going to be like a dance off. They're going to be literally just going at it, man, on that floor of the House mostly, because I think the majority, all of what I just said is in the House today. I'm not sure what the Senate's probably just sitting upstairs glad they're not in the House. That's what's happening. So anyway, let me talk to you about these bills. And it looks like we may be missing. Just keep trying him, Copper. Just give him a couple minutes. Just keep trying him, and we'll see if we can get him on. But if we miss him, we'll get him on another day. That being said, let me just tell you about one of the bills. So House Bill 2, all right? House Bill 2, if you're not familiar, is referred to as the anti-rioting bill. Now, and here's the thing. I don't want to say it flew under the radar, because it didn't. It was House Bill 2. It's been out there for a while. At the Policy Institute, we try to keep track of legislation. Sometimes the legislation begins to move so fast that you have some that are on the front burner and some that are on the back burner. And we see certain things coming, and we know what we need to take a stance on. Like, a couple of years ago, we could smell the gas tax bill 6 months in advance. The gambling bill, we were actually having meetings about that before the session even started. Then there's bills that pop up during the session. You're like, well, where did that come from? Well, one of them is the anti-rioting bill, which was talked about to some degree by Representative Alan Treadaway, a retired police captain from Birmingham, who's a good dude. I know Alan Treadaway. I know what he's trying to do. And I've talked about this bill on my show once before, but we didn't see it coming to the floor until today. So the Policy Institute, we got our heads together today, and we looked at the way the bill was written. And we actually, I talked to a conservative legislator today who was very concerned about this bill, and I agree. Listen to this. Here's the definition of riot in the bill. And I appreciate the folks at the Policy Institute helping to put this together, especially while I'm on the air. Definition of riot in the anti-rioting bill is the assemblage of five or more persons engaging in conduct which creates an immediate danger of and or results in damage to property or injury to persons. Now, I agree, that's a bad definition. I agree that needs to be amended. Now, first of all, riot is already defined under Alabama law, so why we're having to redefine it, I don't know. But this particular bill, I mean, in contravention to what is already the state law, that engaging in a riot is a Class A misdemeanor at least, and if you add things like destruction of property and trespassing and other things, you can ramp it up. But this thing says the assemblage of five or more persons, okay, engaging in conduct which creates an immediate danger of and or results in damage to property. All right, so an immediate danger. Now, let me ask you this, folks. Looking around the state, I have taken issue multiple times with Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham. Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin has a completely different notion about what is considered legal and illegal at times. He's the one that issued 15,000 pardons for anyone who has been convicted of possession of marijuana since back to 1990. He wiped their slate clean, despite the fact that under the laws of the state, they were considered guilty and they had pled and or been convicted of being guilty. He wiped them clean because Liberal Mayor Randall Whitfin understands the law better than the legislature and the judges and the DAs. Liberal Mayor Randall Whitfin is also the one who built a wall around a statue in Lynn Park in downtown because he didn't like it. So in contravention to the law, he didn't want people gathering down there. He believed it was going to be dangerous. And yet, Liberal Mayor Randall Whitfin is also one of those who bowed down with BLM and allowed for certain protests to take place. So let me ask you this. Would you feel good about Liberal Mayor Randall Whitfin looking at your assemblage of five or more persons and deciding that in his perspective, there was a danger? Oh, now you see where we're going. You see, you got to look at this stuff. And I get concerned when I see legislators that get caught up in a moment. And I know what Alan Treadaway is trying to do. Representative Alan Treadaway is a good dude. He served his community quite well as a career police officer, retired as a captain. He was one of the deputy chiefs for the Birmingham Police Department. He's a Republican. But I don't know if he's recognizing that this bill could cut both ways. And it could. That's the rub, y'all. When you get in there and you start saying, hey, let's do this thing. Let's make it harder to riot. Well, what you don't recognize is the way you worded it may have made it harder for good, solid people to just gather. I mean, hey, Copper, grab the mic.
Yeah.
So I know you've been very involved in pro-life activities for a number of years, right?
That's right.
Okay. Have you ever gathered up outside of an abortion center and prayed for people and that kind of thing?
I have. I did that just back in November.
Yeah. How many people were with you?
I'm varied from 1 to 2 to, I guess, 7 was the most we had out there at once.
Oh, okay. So at some point, though, if this bill were passed, you had 5 or more, right?
Yeah.
All right. 5 or more that were gathered for what happens if the owner of the abortion center, knowing the law, if this was passed, calls the local police department who already doesn't like you because the local police department is run by people who may not agree and says, I feel like I'm in immediate danger.
It's ridiculous.
You guys may qualify as a riot and all you're doing is out there praying with people in front of an abortion center, right?
Yeah. Or the distance that you can only be within a certain number of yards within the facility, even though it's not their property.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe you qualify under the standoff rules, but what happens if you don't qualify under the new riot laws? You know, because somebody in their discretion created the immediate danger of injury to property or persons. So that's what anyway, thanks, Copper. I just wanted to make sure. I thought I knew you'd been in that position before. All right, so here's the bottom line, folks. Good, solid people like Copper could find themselves in a group of 5 or more doing something that their constitutional rights allow, assembly, freedom of speech. And if you're not careful, bills like this, which are designed with good intentions, I know what Treadaway's doing. He's basically saying, I don't want anybody doing like to my city. Since I'm a law enforcement guy, I don't want Antifa coming here thinking they can repeat Portland in Birmingham, Alabama. I agree. I don't either. Well, how about we make this something like, using the existing definitions of riot, why do we have to redefine it to something that gives so much discretion to people who are in charge? I mean, this literally puts the opportunity for people who just have political ideologies to declare the opposition to be unlawful and declare a riot. And folks, that's danger, Will Robinson. Let's don't go down that road. Well, I tell you what, that's one of the bills in the State House dance-off today. And they're taking it up on the House floor. It may have already gone through. I'm going to check on that while we're at the break. Copper, go ahead and move us to the break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a couple other bills that are on the floor today. Apparently, they're dealing with gun bills and transgenders. Or is it transgenders with guns? I don't know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, you may have heard some ads playing right now, my voice, talking about the fact that coming up on the 10th of March, only a few weeks away, we have an event. Alabama Policy Institute is holding a dinner event up at Burritt on the Mountain here at Montesano in Huntsville. And it's going to be a great night just to celebrate conservatism, get a chance to hear what the Policy Institute does. But for the main thing I wanted y'all to know is I'm the keynote speaker that night, and it would give me a great opportunity to meet some of my Right Side ruffians. I know some of y'all have already emailed me and told me you've gone on our website, rightsideradio.org, and purchased your tickets to the event. Listen, there's limited seating available. If you want to do that, you need to get on it and get in there and get your tickets. And I will tell you this, too. I worked out a deal for our Right Side listeners. If you go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and you click on the button that says, you know, Huntsville API 2022 event, when you click on that, you'll go to a chance to do an online ticket purchase. And if you enter the promo code RIGHTSIDE, only people who are hearing this on the radio will know this. If you enter the promo code RIGHTSIDE, you get your ticket half price. Would love to see y'all there. I don't get a chance to meet all my Right Side ruffians in person a lot of times. And so, you know, putting some faces with names and names and faces, this would be great. Anyway, come out and join us March the 10th in the evening. Reception followed by dinner, followed by me being the keynote speaker. Love to meet some of y'all in person. So, yeah, check it out. March 10th, go on our website, rightsideradio.org. Use the promo code RIGHTSIDE. Get your ticket half price. There's that. Yes, finishing up this hour, let me just tell you, I'm going to be going into the next hour talking about the continuation of this particular topic. And Copper, I've got a message for you on the board there, in case you didn't see it. The State House dance-off. So they've got this, they've got the bill going right now that's, you know, talk about second and third order effects. I mean, that bill that I told you about, let me, by the way, thank you to Parker at the Alabama Policy Institute, who sent me an update so I would know. Oh, gosh, I just moved off of that email. Let me go back and find it. There is an actual definition of riot already in the law. Here it is. Parker Snyder, who's been on the show several times, he said, here's the original definition of riot that currently exists in the law. A person commits the crime of riot if, with five or more other persons, he wrongfully engages in tumultuous and violent conduct and thereby intentionally or recklessly causes or creates a grave risk of public terror or alarm. So, hey, Copper, grab the mic.
Yes, indeed.
So, when you were out there praying for people in front of the abortion center, did you ever wrongfully engage in tumultuous or violent contact, thereby intentionally or recklessly causing or creating a grave risk of public harm?
Nope, didn't even talk to anybody except for one lady who drove by and screamed at us, but I don't think she even heard my response, which was kind of a, hi, how are you?
Yes, bless you, bless your heart, thank you.
Yep.
All right, yeah, I would not call that tumultuous and violent conduct. But the thing is, the other one, the other definition that I was talking about a minute ago, Copper, I mean, the reality is that one was in the discretion of the beholder, if you will, in the eyes of the beholder. Whereas this one says, basically, if you're breaking stuff and causing a violent tumult, then, yeah, that's a big difference.
Which, why would we even need an extra bill for that? Because that falls under general trespassing and destruction of property laws.
Well, you sound like an API person, Copper. That's exactly. In fact, I had that conversation this morning. I had not had a chance to read the bill in full. And I was talking through it, and I was talking to one of the guys at API, and he said, yeah, but we already have this in the law. I said, I know we do, but what's the bill say? Is the bill jiving with current law, or are they rewriting it? And he said, no, they're rewriting the definition. I said, well, why would they do that? Well, I know the answer, because someone had a good idea. So your point is well taken. All right, what else we got down there? Oh, yeah, guns. We got guns and transgenders with guns. Well, I hope there's no transgenders with guns in the State House. But nonetheless, here's the deal. One of the bills, am I going to get in trouble for saying that, Copper? Do you think I'm going to get in trouble for talking about transgenders with guns? I mean, I think I just conjured up a meme of some kind.
Oh,
I'm
not, boy. You're not getting in trouble on this show, that's for sure.
No, on this show, I think I'm safe. It's just what's outside the show that makes me wonder. All right, AL.com has an article dated 2 days ago. Permitless concealed handguns could get Alabama legislature vote this week. So what happened, you know, remember last week there was some controversy the Republicans in the House came out strong. Oh, strong. Here's how big and bad we are. We got an agenda. Well, and I'm kind of mocking it. I'm glad they had an agenda. And there was some good stuff in the agenda. And it wasn't like there were no tax cuts. There was no substantive change to Alabama policy. But they were looking at one big change was doing away with permits. Now, I was talking to a guy yesterday who's running for sheriff in one of the counties in the listening area. And he said, you know what? The sheriffs don't want it to go away because they're losing some money off of that. He said, here's the bottom line. Everybody still needs to get a permit, but just make it free. Because you're going to want a permit when you cross state lines. If you want to carry concealed in Florida, they may not recognize the fact that we're a constitutional carry state or wherever. You go somewhere on vacation, you want to carry your piece with you. The truth be told, you may need a concealed carry permit to be allowed to carry there. So why not still have a permitting process? I think that's fair. That means you've been vetted. You've had a background check. You're not a bad guy. And in other states that don't recognize constitutional carry, you're still okay. In Alabama, though, right now, you still have to pay for it. That's the rub. Well, the House of Representatives had a bit of an issue last week when their own agenda began falling apart because members were getting cold feet because they were getting pushback from the sheriffs and all that. Which, you know, I just want to say, buck up, man. You signed up for this. Well, House Speaker Mac McCutcheon did say there's a good chance that representatives are going to vote on the bill as early as today. And I am aware, because I was told that it was on the House calendar, that House Republicans are holding a debate on that bill today. Apparently, it's only been set for a two-hour calendar. What that means is they're not going to go long-term, that the Speaker has set, and the Rules Chairman, I guess, have set this as a two-hour debate. We'll see what happens. Constitutional carry is up in the dance-off right now in the Alabama House, perhaps even as we speak. I'll tell you more about that when we get back, along with a couple of other things that are happening in the legislature. With State House dance-off underway. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.